So, I don't think I told you about the Christmas show that I did with.
Nice. I like it. You got me. Okay, so that's a joke. There's no setup.
Here we go. Oh no, I don't have my buttons anymore. I don't have my pad with my buttons anymore. I'm gonna have to do these by my mouth.
No. What happened to your pad of buttons?
Well, that was plugged into my
The boom arm.
so listener, I've got rid of a bunch of stuff, and this is probably why I sound a bit more hollow, because I'm on a different mic and everything. And because it's a USB mic, I don't have to have it plugged into a machine that also has buttons for
That also has
annoying
buttons.
Brendan.
Yeah, you're
I
no
should say
longer
buttons for mocking
professional
Brendan.
for mocking me. Yes. Yeah, they don't annoy me. They're
No.
quite silly.
Yeah.
One more step to take you away from being a professional podcasters. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the door is closing. Well, the door isn't closing. I'm walking away from the door.
Yeah, the door's still open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was looking at LinkedIn yesterday. I don't know what. I just sometimes I get bored. Like I'm not I don't live in the social networks in the way that I once did. So I was just bored and wanted something to look at, and I just ended up looking at LinkedIn as like, here's some podcast drama that I don't care about at all. I was just chatting to my brother about like the fact that my heart's not in the work, which means it's like every now and again someone will ask me like, so what's the latest, like, you know, what should we be learning or doing, or like what's the latest gear? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yep.
So
I'm familiar. Yeah.
yeah.
I just had an old friend reach out to me because they just released a four-part audio drama as a podcast, and I had helped well, I helped in that I provided some moral support and guidance, but I didn't really help with the production of their previous audio drama back in 2018 or so. And
Golden Age.
yeah. And yeah, it was good to hear from them. And but also I was like a little bit happy that they weren't asking me any questions. They were just like, "Hey, I just dropped this new thing. I just th thought I'd share it with you." And that was great, as opposed to, you know, an email I could expect, which would be like, "All right, I want to launch this thing. How do I best get it to more people and this and that?" I'm like, "I don't fucking know anymore." Like, I didn't know back in the day, but now I really don't know now.
You had a mammoth web page all about it.
I did. I had a mammoth web
Yeah.
page that I wonder if it helped anybody. It didn't help me.
Pretty cool what you've written about. You were in the trades for it.
I combined everything else that I'd heard. It's just like God mode. Oh my God.
Oh my God mode.
Oh my God mode. Title.
So what is the latest on that then? Where are
It
we at
is
with that?
it's no longer a dream of a profession. It is currently what I desire to get myself back onto
Ah,
so that I
nice.
can feel good about myself and my body again, because I'm not really happy with myself and my body. The
Okay.
between the mold, the holidays, and an exploration into intuitive eating that led me to be a little bit too relaxed
Too
with.
intuitive. Yeah.
I have fallen hard from my sex god body and persona that I felt in 2023.
And now you've got the dad bod to match the dad jokes.
I sure do. I sure do. I don't have any. I at the ready. Although I should always have a good dad joke ready. That's what I try to do.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right. Yeah, well,
Yeah.
so I don't mean this in a nudging way. I'm
Hit me, bro.
curious. and it's a question I could ask myself. Oh, here's Roscoe. So quite a tiny little sidebar. I bought the big man a new cat tree. So ooh, that he could...
What's it like?
It's cool. It's about, I don't know, 3.5 foot. And it means that he can sit and sleep beside me while I'm in here.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Doing that now.
He's just giving Yay. Himself a good old wash. And it's cutting down on the walking around pacing yes. and meow. And me having to, what was the phrase? I was using the phrase, compassionately confine. I'm no longer having to compassionately confine him.
what a euphemism.
for banishing him into another room. So he's good as gold here. Because, you know, I care about my cat and I want him to be happy.
Yeah.
He seems to be settling in quite nicely. So I'm very pleased about that because he took to it instantly. So that's made me pleased. What's stopping you? And it's not a challenge. I'm just curious.
I'm slowly working my way back. Mm-hmm. That is what I'm currently on that trajectory. And so I don't feel stopped. You know, I'm not diving 100% back in, what's stopping me from doing that is, momentum and, maybe feelings of lack or, the things I've been going back to, in terms of substances, sugars, and processed foods, are so comfortable, mm-hmm. and they sell such a great lie that make me happy in the moment that I got used to again returning back to for comfort, and now. And they have deteriorated my state to a point where I am uncomfortable all the time. Mm. So I am seeking that comfort.
Ugh.
And I've been thinking about this quite a bit over the past couple months. It's like, I was not uncomfortable before. When I was on God mode, I was really happy with my body, with how I was feeling. And there was very little to no desire for sugar or processed foods. It was gone. I wasn't relying on it. I didn't need it. I didn't want it. And it was hard to even fathom at the time wanting it because of where I was at. And now it's very persistent. And I'm like, right now it's the battle of, okay, I'm going to choose an apple over a candy bar. Mm-hmm. Like that's where I'm at. And I know there's a big and a small difference between the two. Like I'm still seeking comfort. There is still sugar in it, even though there's fiber that makes it better for me. It is more natural and not processed, and it's got, you know, there's a big difference, but there's also a bit of similarity. And so right now I'm just taking baby steps to kind of tiptoe myself back into the discomfort and allow myself to accept the discomfort a little bit slower, because I am in the middle of a job that I really want to do well on, that I cannot be incapacitated during. Whereas before, I did have the ability to just be incapacitated for a while and just wallow in that discomfort for 2 weeks while my body transitioned. I don't have that luxury at the moment. Although I do have a time period of where I coming up where I could possibly do that. So what I'm trying to do now is like ease my way into it a little bit until I have my vacation after this project, and then fully convert and go through that hard stage and get back on track with where I know makes me feel fantastic and feel good about myself again.
What is the hard stage that you're anticipating? What does that look like?
Oh, just so much pain, fatigue, just feeling worn out, no motivation, no... after having said motivation just now, I just realized how much motivation really matters to me because I love to do. That if I'm lacking motivation, that like speaks right to my core desire of having accomplished something, because if the motivation isn't there to actually do anything, but I still want to be, I still hold my self-worth in what I do, which is something that I know up here, I know cognitively, like that's consciously that's not where my worth is, but my default is to constantly bring myself back to thinking about, like, I just always just think about myself in terms of think of my worth in terms of what I do.
I heard this put very well yesterday, that if you have a baby, you love the baby, if it's yours, and you're not expecting the baby to be productive.
Yeah,
you're not expecting, like, there is no, you just unconditionally love and value that baby.
Yeah.
And at some point,
they better start doing those fucking chores.
Yeah. They better start contributing. And yeah, which is where my mind is going now. It makes me think about not graduation, but transition. There is a proper word for this. When
ascension.
Ascension, when we become, you know, an adult.
Yeah.
There is no real... Women have it to a certain degree, but not really. It's not something that is celebrated. It's more something like, okay, here's now a bunch of shit that you've got to deal with.
Yeah.
Here are more to-do list items for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't have that sort of maturation...
Bar mitzvah.
Maybe that's the thing about those sort of religious things. And I think confirmation in the Catholic faith is a similar kind of thing, actually.
That's such a funny name. Confirmed, you are an adult.
You are, yeah. Because, yeah, you go, I think it's you have your christening, and then you do your first communion, and then it's confirmation. I think mine, I was about 9 or 10, maybe 10, I think. 10 or 11, I can't remember what age it typically happens. But, like, yeah, you know, that's sort of a rite of passage to a degree. Yeah, like, I have such an appetite for, like, I didn't realise this until a few years ago, but I love coming-of-age films. I find them heartwarming as hell, and there's some really, really good ones. The Fundamentals of Caring, Eaten by Lions, Sing Street, phenomenal. I love Sing Street so much. You know, to an extent, The Holdovers that we watched. You know, like, I love those sort of threshold type films this is the last summer, you know, and mm-hmm. after this, we, you know. And I think back to, I was thinking about this morning in 2006, just over 20 years ago now, in the Christmas and New Year period, playing Half-Life 2 on my Xbox, listening to the box set of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that my parents had bought me for Christmas. And I can remember, and you know, memories get rewritten all the time,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I remember enjoying that period so much. And I think one reason that it is cemented in my mind is, well, two reasons, like it was the last Christmas that I spent, you know, like living with my folks.
Sure.
Because 6 months later I'd have my own place. And it was the first, it was the last time that I didn't have a proper job. Because I'd had mm-hmm. like kid jobs, and I'd had a under the table paid in cash programming job. And then I'd gone freelance for a bit. And then my parents were like, listen, at some point we want to go traveling around the world. You need to get your arse in gear, in a very loving way. They actually were quite lovely about it. But like, at some point, you know, if this isn't working, you've got to go find a job. And like, that was it. And then on the treadmill to adulthood. Mm-hmm. And I think those threshold moments are really important, and we don't get them.
Yeah. And they're kind of like, they're kind of like an afterthought, and they're not cherished, but like, there's less of a ritual about it.
There isn't a ritual, really. Yeah. Not in secular, and I think even the rituals that we observe, we don't observe them for the reasons that we're saying, like, you are about to go into a world of responsibility. You've had this world of unconditional love, and you're about to move into a space where, you know, we hope people will love you, but they're not going to love you unconditionally because they don't know you. And now, you know, you are moving into a space where you've got to, and it's like, it's not as if we're going to go down the mine or tilling the fields, but it kind of is, like, you know, at some point we've got to look after the farm.
Yeah.
And we've got to have things on our shoulders, and we should be prepared for that rather than kind of surprised by it. As I think kids of our generation were slightly, because like the kids of our parents, when our parents were kids, they, like, the idea of teenagers didn't really exist all that much.
Mm.
That was a fairly modern concept. Which came about in the 50s and 60s. And so you were a child, and then you were an adult.
Right.
And you put away childish things.
Hmm. So what's stopping you?
From what?
I don't know. From what you stopped of.
Cool. Good question. I don't feel hugely stopped at the moment.
Okay, I ask because you were saying that you could ask yourself the same question, so I was
I could in terms of like something like God mode,
sure,
you know, implementing a protocol. Right now I think I am enjoying noticing a couple of things, so like I'm pretty sure that the drugs are kicked in. I'm pretty sure that that's the case now.
Awesome.
Which is lovely. And I'm finding some certain, like, one of the things that is associated with coming on this medication is increase in appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And while that is true, and while I'm feeding that appetite, I'm not cramming a bunch of chocolate and stuff into my face, and I'm doing that because I'm not wanting it. I'm not denying it. I'm just like, I did a little shop today, and there was all the stuff on offer, and I'm like, you know, fine. And the key, the test, I think, is going to be interesting tomorrow when I finish running C90 and we have a couple of drinks. Am I going to go home and want to order an enormous plate of
curry,
kebab meat and chips?
Kebab.
Or am I going to have, you know, some beans on toast or a jacket potato or something? You know, or something that I've pre-made before. I'm not, you know, we will see what happens. But I'm kind of in the mind of, there is no, at the moment, although my, you know, I have got this appetite, it's not for a bunch of stuff that is going to necessarily clog my arteries, because it's, I'm not needing that boost.
Yeah.
That chemical boost.
Yeah. That is interesting. Yeah. So you've got a bit more of a positive baseline where you're not seeking the comfort from the food, where that's kind of where I'm still at right now.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it well. yeah.
I have a friend in my men's group who's been taking Ozempic, and over the past like 8 months or a year or so. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really helped him. It's what's funny is that, like, at every men's group, he's always got a chocolate bar either a sugary or aspartame soda or something. But I've been seeing him lose weight over the past, 6 or 8 months or so. And he's at a really, really good shape right now. He looks very good, and he wears it really well. Like, I think he's really happy with where he's at. And,
I don't know if you've heard the latest about it, though.
I've heard nothing.
Oh yeah. Cause I, you know, it's been something I'd considered. And I might get to a point where I could afford it, soon enough, but, they are saying at the moment that a significant amount, in a recent study, a significant amount of people on those drugs, when they come off them, gain more, or can gain more than they lost originally.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to be on I don't want to be injecting something into my butt or my belly for all my life, because going off it would mean, you know, I'm going to go back to these. Yeah. So, like, if I can come by, I've been saying come by it honestly, but I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. But, like, if I can, you know, use other drugs to find my way around it, then I will. Because the thought of making that progress and then
regressing, backsliding worse. So much. Yeah. I'm happy to say, in this part of my journey, having fallen off God mode, and I've gotten to the point of distress where I can't take it anymore and I have to go back. I have not gotten so big or gained so much weight or gotten so uncomfortable that it's past the point I was before. Like,
still not by a long shot.
Yeah. I'm around 260 right now, and that's about 90 pounds from where I would like to be.
Sure. Okay.
It's still 40 plus pounds from where I've been at my worst. So it's you've mentioned before, like, I have the tools, I know what to do, and it's like, I remember when you said that, like, a few months ago, and I was like, yeah, but fuck, dude, like, I don't feel good. Sure.
Yeah.
But right now, where I've gotten farther into it, and I'm like, nope, okay, I got to go back to those tools. At the time, I just wasn't ready. I needed to. I had external factors and internal factors that were stopping me. And now, you know, I've cleaned this house so much, dude. Holy, this house hasn't been ever as clean. Even when I bought it, it was not as clean as it is now. And I'm happy to have purged a lot of mold out of this place and just dust and dirt and stuff too. Like, it's really great to have it be so clean. I've dealt with some mother issues, and I'm way less stressed about all that that's going on. Margaret and I are working on things, and that's been really, we just had our first actual session with our couples therapist, and that went really well. We've got some good hope building for things that have been struggles for us that, we've received great, confidence that those issues will be resolved because they're common issues and easily, it's a resolvable problem, and we're very happy about that. So that's not super stressful. Work is way less stressful. You know, I've got this job is working really well. I've got my next job lined up, and it's gonna go really great, I'm pretty sure. And I've got people calling me and emailing me. So I've got you know, people that I have to turn away. I have work I have to turn away, which is like always a good place to be in. That way I get to be picky and choosy with what I do, because that's really important. Because like I can't do everything. Nope. And I mean that both in the terms of I can't get to everything, but also I don't want to do everything. I don't want to do all those jobs. I want to do ones that work for me and resonate and I can excel at. And so, yeah, so I'm at a point where there's a lot less stresses in a wide variety of fashions. So now it's just a matter of getting myself through the hard point of detoxing and, pushing through the hard part.
Mm.
Pushing through the hard part.
Pushing through the limit. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this is, if I did want to go back into being Mr. God mode, and helping people with that, which I'm pretty far from that desire anymore. And maybe it'll come back when I get back into and back into my place. I don't know. But like right now, I don't feel like I feel so far from it. So I feel so far from being able to be an authority on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if like I can take this time as an example, as a reminder of how difficult the transition to it is. Because once you're in it, it's easy and awesome. And to get into it is not easy and not awesome.
Yes.
And so, yeah, trying to, and maybe this is even just to revise the protocol even for myself for future times that are difficult. And maybe I need to get back on it again, putting in some reminders in there of how hard the transition is and best steps in order to be able to make that transition easier. Like I'm noticing right now, like all those things I just listed about the changes in my life that are enabling me to not stop myself are these external factors I do have control over to some extent, but also like a lot of other things need to be in place for me to be able to work on myself.
You've got to be stable. You've got to be on a stable platform.
Stable, like the stress, physical and mental and emotional stresses need to be quelled. And because it is absolutely a tough transition in multiple ways. And when you're already at capacity or past capacity and you're using things to cope with that, you can't take away those copings and then just deal with all those things you were trying to avoid. Because you were already past capacity. That's the truth of it, is you're already past capacity. Because if you're turning to things to cope, that you're trying to get back into the green, so you're already in the red. And so you can't just be like, all right, I'm just going to stay in the red and try to do everything else successfully. Like, that's just, it's impossible.
Take it to an early grave, that.
Yeah. So, that's where I'm at right now.
That's wonderful. I may have mentioned this before. There is a guitar teacher online called Justin
Bieber.
He calls himself Justin Guitar.
Oh, okay.
And he's an affable Australian man who wears a cloth cap.
And I almost bought a cloth cap.
Oh, you do well with
it.
Cloth cap.
It did look pretty good. But it was like, yeah, $60, and I was like, I don't know if this is me, and so I just didn't.
Is it $60 worth of me? Yeah, I
yeah.
He did a remarkable thing a number of years ago where he started learning the guitar left-handed, so that he could relearn and thus relay what it is like to learn the guitar from scratch.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That, what a great hack.
Yeah.
I mean, not even a hack, but you know what I mean. Like, wow. Yeah.
So he's got the wisdom of someone who's been playing the guitar for probably 40 years.
Yeah.
But the compassion to go, no, I know how hard it is because I haven't got the calluses, and I haven't got the dexterity on my right
hand.
Muscle memory, all the stuff I take for granted.
Yeah.
I can know all the theory, but it's not baked into my muscles yet, into my bones yet. And so the reason I bring it up is I think there could be some value here in you maybe being able to document in some way. It doesn't have to be for public consumption, but document that transition.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will help. It may help you the next time.
Yeah, it may help me this time.
May help, yeah. And it may help for others as well. And just having that compassion, either for yourself or for other people, to go like, I've done this recently, or I've done it, you know, whatever time frame, and I know how hard it is. And you know, these are the things that I felt and thought, and you know, I think that there's some value in putting that down somewhere.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. I'm just putting myself back. It was when I was in it, in God mode, it was so hard for me to see and put myself back in the mindset of where I was pre-God mode.
Yes.
In terms of like onboarding or trying to and this is all exactly what you just said. I'm just like reiterating it.
Yeah. But,
when I made the God mode protocol and I was sharing it with people and just thinking, like, it's all right there. Like, just do it. It feels so great. I don't understand why.
I have no idea how good this
feels.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it. And you.
Sucks when people say that, isn't it? Doesn't it? When you're not in the mode for it, it sucks.
Yeah. Well, no, it's sucks for them to hear it, but also it sucks for me or the person trying to deliver something to somebody who can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't want to. It's that
there's a block.
Yeah. There's other factors at play here.
Yeah.
And yeah, because now I can pretty clearly remember how I felt while I was on it, which is funny. Mm-hmm. I remember how good I felt. I remember how easy it felt, and now I'm feeling how hard it feels. And it's like not even like I don't even have the aches and pains of going through the process yet. I'm just thinking about the protocol itself and just being like, fuck, that's exhausting. Or like just the idea of it, or the process of getting onto it, or starting with something. It's like, no, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Mm. Yeah. That so, inertia. That's how it gets you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one of those sessions with my guy this week where it's only happened twice. This is the second time it's happened.
Okay.
Where I finished with him and I was like, I didn't know how to end. It's like, I just sort of looked at him and was like, I don't know what to do. He's like, I can tell. do I want to hug? Do I want to, like, I want a handshake? I don't, I left the building and I just stood outside for a while going like, I think I want to get an Uber back, but I don't want to get an Uber back. I do, but I don't want to spend the money. That's £9. I don't want to walk to the bus stop and then I've got to get which bus am I? And all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I nearly got on the wrong bus. And it was all down to, and it was a similar thing that happened the first time, is I'd got myself kind of mentally exhausted. Because I recognised a big thing, and like it was this big like moment of going, fuck, how easy would my life be if half of it wasn't spent metacognizing about the other half.
Yeah.
And it really hit me and I was like, I'm fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of every time I do or say something, having to then give it the post-match analysis and seemingly give it the same or more amount of time. It's like, I really had this, and I started to get kind of a bit angry about, like, how much time have I wasted?
Sure.
And it's, like, I'm not angry at me, because I'm like, well, the way I was putting it is like, I've got a fucking leech on me. Like, I've got a brain leech. Like, I can't be angry at myself for having a leech on me that is sucking time and energy from me.
Right.
But I can be, you know, I can be angry at the leech and at the situation. Be like, fuck it, like, how much time have I, time and energy have I lost in that, you know, he used a great term, intrapsychology, something like that. Or intrapsychic. I think he used the word intrapsychic, which I think is a wonderful word. Like the thinking about the thinking and the meta thinking about the meta, like, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And how freeing it would be to just not with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was such a sort of realization. It's like, it's one of those kind of maybe subtle ones in a way of like, you know, I didn't cry, I didn't break down, and there were no angels singing. But at the same time, I left the session going, just like blinking a little bit. Ooh. Because something happened in there.
That's great.
I'm excited to see what might happen next.
Awesome.
He gave me sort of an exercise.
What's the exercise?
To do. It's very simple. And he said, I've probably never said this phrase before, because he's trying to, because God bless it, I'd love this guy.
Yeah.
I really do.
I love that.
Oh, it's so great. Even, you know, in the frustration I had before, I was like, I still love this guy.
Yeah.
He was like, try something very simple of putting your hand on your chest, which is a very sort of good soothing thing, and then just saying, I'm all right, I am. And it being that simple, because it's not, I'm great, or it's not all right because, or it's not, you know, whatever.
Sure.
In America, you have this thing, and I you see it in films, and it always... my computer wants my attention. Backblaze, go away. It's always struck me as incredibly cringeably corny.
Mm.
You'll get two characters that are maybe... And it's always dudes. It never happens with girls.
Sure.
with women. It's always two dudes. And maybe they've had a bit of a scrap, maybe some repartee or whatever. Maybe they didn't like each other. And then one guy will turn to the other and go, hey, Jeff, you're all right.
You're all right.
And they, oh, God, it's just so... Yeah,
so condescending. And
Yeah, but just like corny and cringy. Like, because it's meant to be like...
Yep.
You know, and I can tell, I can understand, like, it's a cultural difference that is obviously a lot more accepted. But, like, and you know, I watch it in these brilliant dramas and stuff, and they do it, and I'm like, oh, God. But there is something in that. So it's finding the British way of saying that. Because Brits don't do that.
Sure.
You just assume that people don't like you until you just assume that because they're never going to tell you. A British person will never tell another person they like them. No, repress that stuff. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you're all right. Blah. But I don't know if it's because it's a slightly kind of seventies. Like, there's a generational difference here in the language that he's using. It's like it's maybe of a slightly different generation. And so, you know, maybe I'll tweak it. I don't know. But the point is, hand on the heart or hand on the chest to be like you know, you're fine or like. I'm all right. I'm. You know what? I'm all right. And it's unqualified. And that's the point. It's like, I'm not all right because.
Right.
Or I'm not great. Or I'm not these other things. It's just, I'm all right. I am. You know, as a way that you might speak to, like, we won't say that we like someone to their face, but they'll leave us. They'll leave a place, and then we'll turn to our friend and go, "He's all right, that guy. That guy, he's all right. He's all right. Yeah.
Oh, funny.
He's all right, that guy. Yeah. And there's something to that. So it's a practice for when I need that sort of regulation to just very simply just go,
I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm all right. I am. Yeah, I'm all right.
I love that. Like,
yeah.
The hand on the chest thing reminds me of your shirt, your podcast shirt.
Yes. Yes.
One of my takeaways from my session this morning with Margaret and our therapist was that I have to talk about my feelings more. And I have a bunch of thoughts.
Okay, yeah, I want them all. I want them all. Om nom 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 nom, like Catman eating pellets.
Yeah, well, one of the feelings is like... It's like, oh, imagine that. Like, I'm supposed to talk about my feelings? Like, oh, who's ever heard of that? What do you mean? But another is like, well, there's a reason why I haven't. And it affects the other person to hear feelings that they're not excited to hear. You know?
Sure.
And you know, it's not even about... They might not even be feelings about the other person or about what the other person has done, but just feelings in general. And them then feeling bad... to know that I'm in distress and that making their time harder. And so, you know,
can I jump in on the, like, I'm, you know, sorry,
go for it.
It's all right. Just cause I think there is a male, I have heard that there is a male component to this. That is the reason men don't talk about their feelings and women do, as a generalization, of course, we're talking broad, is that men are socialized to be the problem solver, not the problem bringer. And that's, you know, that's not that that's what we are. It's that's what, you know, society is supposed to tell us that we are. And so bringing a, you know, as a sort of leader of a little nuclear family or whatever, you're supposed to be the one that bears the problems, not the one that, that has them.
Yeah.
And so confiding in another human being.
Is weakness, is lack of fulfilling the role that we've put up, placed on ourselves.
It's vulnerability, which could lead to, in a, I think, you know, maybe in a like primeval, not primeval, but like in a historical sense of like, I've made myself vulnerable, I've exposed my soft underbelly.
Yeah.
Is my mate then going to see that as she's going to then look elsewhere for someone who is stronger?
Sure, sure. Yeah, and, so, and that's, you know, we're in a funny place with that, because I feel like both of us feel super confident in our relationship in terms of safety. Like, we're not going to say something and or do something even, and the other person's going to leave. Like, we're that's pretty far from, I think, either of our fears. Which has at times felt to me like I have had the passing thought of, well, then there's no incentive to change. Like I, there's no pressure here because I'm not going anywhere. Like, I will, I am patient and I will just keep dealing with this, you know, whatever problems. And so there's not any sort of like fire lit to be like, oh, I got to change or else I'll lose him. Like, that's not going to happen. So, you know, that fire has to be lit some other way. But, you know, one thing that occurs to me, like, with me needing to talk more about my feelings is, like, I think of myself as somebody who's very in touch with my feelings and expresses them not only clearly, but often. And maybe I have a inflated sense of that. You know, maybe my internal world is a bit deeper than my external world, and that that could very well be possible. But I, you know, but like I understand and accept that what you just said about the male roles and how we're indoctrinated in society and what men are allowed to say. And I'd love to reject that.
Of course, because we're smart men.
At the same time, I am observant. I'm very observant. And I see not only how my expression affects the people around me, but also I see when my expression is unproductive. And if I'm going to keep expressing my feelings are of disappointment or fear or what have you, and it doesn't lead to any change, but it does still bring up hurts and makes things more difficult or more uncomfortable, I'm not a glutton for punishment. I'm not going to keep doing that to either of us. And so I get to this point where, like, well, I have expressed those feelings. I've expressed them multiple times. They're not an unknown factor. If I keep bringing it up, like, it's also, it's not assumed that it just has gone away. So if I bring it up again, then I feel like I am just hammering a wound. And, like, that feels unproductive to me. That's the framing I've had coming into today, before the session. One thing that I heard, and it was actually from Margaret after we were given this advice from our therapist, that I should speak about my feelings more. And I was thinking at the time, I was like, it doesn't feel like that's going to be any good. And I feel like it, even, you know, in that session, I expressed some feelings and Margaret had a reaction in that time and she got to see it. And it was like, how is that going to be good? But then Margaret said something that made me realize that maybe I actually talk about the practical side of things more than I think I do. I'm feeling these feelings, and I'm trying to express them, but what the way I express them might be a little bit more towards the actual doing side of things and how... Yes,
this is a problem
that
has a solution. What is the solution? Rather than just going, this sucks.
Yeah, I don't think I try to explain it too much, maybe, or like try to pin it down to something tangible when it doesn't need to be. I can just express the feeling without even me trying to solve it, let alone her trying to solve it. Like I'm trying to pre-solve my problem as I'm expressing my problem.
Yes.
Holy shit.
And also, you might be trying to like drape, I have the visual metaphor now of draping like a fabric over a skeletal frame of some sort, and so you've got this amorphous this blob, this
ghost
thing that's like my feeling, big white sheet that's my feeling, and I'm feeling this feeling like a weighted blanket. I'm feeling it, and before you express it, or maybe even before you try and understand it yourself so that you can then express it, you're trying to drape it over this skeleton to give it form, to give it structure, to then be able to look at it, to analyze it, to hopefully understand it, to break it down, to do whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas what would happen if you just said, there's a ghost in my house. Like, what would happen if you just said, like, I'm feeling this.
Yeah.
And then that invitation is for her to go, or for anyone else to go, what's brought that up? And you might say, I don't know. Or you might go, well, this thing happened. And it's like, they might help you get to a form that you hadn't considered.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at it from a different angle, a different perspective, rather than you having to do all of that work yourself.
Yeah.
And then only bringing this partially solved Rubik's Cube to the party. Yeah. You can bring something that's a lot more just like, I feel bummed out, man. Or I feel unappreciated. Or I feel...
Yeah.
And it's like, and there's the invitation, which I feel like maybe women are better at doing, because there's no shame in just saying, I feel this.
Yes. Yeah, man.
Silence, periods of silence are so good for therapeutic sessions, so bad for podcasts. Which is a shame.
It's so true.
So what else? What else is sort of in the pipe when it comes to the couples therapy?
Yeah, so we're gonna do individual breakout sessions for the next 2 weeks. So Margaret will go next week, and I'll go the following week, which is cool. I'm really excited for that, both because I haven't really had a one-on-one therapy session in a while, but also, like, there's definitely a freedom to be able to say things say things about the person without them being there. You can like speak a little freer and like not have to worry about their feelings in the moment. And getting, because, you know, neither of us have any ill will or harboring anything, or like there's nothing bad, but like,
doesn't matter though.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You still need permission to speak freely.
Yeah.
Officer.
This morning I found myself like trying to think of how to say something, not necessarily just letting it out. Because it matters a lot to me to be respectful and kind. And also we're trying to deal with issues here, and I have yeah, I don't want to hurt, but I do want to us to work, you know, to get to our goal. So, yeah, this is interesting because, like, in the couples therapy, I think that it's my feeling that that Margaret feels like she's the one that needs more work or is the problem, whereas I definitely feel like we both have things that we need to work on in order to come to the middle. I'm sure she thinks I have things to work on too. Not that I'm perfect and she's flawed, but like, she's definitely focused on the things that she, the areas that are difficult for her. And I am seeing that we both have things, and that's great. And that, like, I don't know, it's kind of great. I think I feel like we're equal in that way. So I'm happy that she gets to kind of go in and get some individual time to prepare herself for her journey, and I get some time to prepare myself for my journey, and maybe we get to hear things that the other person doesn't really need to hear, or doesn't need to focus on, or doesn't need to worry about, doesn't need to be preoccupied by. I don't need to know all of the details on her inner journey. Like, that's for her to go through, and she doesn't need to be preoccupied with the things I need to work on necessarily. Like, it's good for us to have some context so we can help each other, but also it could be a distraction by thinking about the other person's problem a little bit too much. And so, yeah, so I'm interested in that. And then we'll be back on weekly doing a couple stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty excited that our therapist, I feel like we all have a good rapport already, and they seem very confident about us being able to get through our issues. And yeah, feels good. I'm excited. And it's kind of weird too, because now, like, I'm like, all right, I got to express my feelings. Well, right now I'm feeling pretty hopeful. I'm feeling fine.
There you go.
It's like, yeah. Okay. Do I express the feelings that I have been feeling, which was, you know, distress and sadness and being unappreciated and stuff? Like, or is that now just in the past? It's like, I know I still have that little bit. Like, it's still there. But also in this moment, I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling hopeful. So it's all.
I think that's exactly right. I think I personally think yeah, it's like I have felt this, or yeah, that is, you know, that's act. Sometimes my guy's, you know, he's trying to get me to be angry, and I might say, like, I can access it. Like,
sure,
it's, you know, it's not that like I'm denying it.
Yeah.
It is there, but it's just not at the forefront. Like, it's I can pick it up.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely fine. So, like, right now, I'm fine. Because, like, that's what life is, you know? Like, life, sometimes you're just like, I'm just the plate spinning in the microwave. Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just, and at some point I'll go ding. And I'm just in stasis.
At some point I go ding.
And other times, you're like, I'm a raging ball of self-loathing, or I just really, really want a snack, or whatever it is you're feeling. And then you've got all the feelings. But, like, to be able to say, like, yesterday I felt really hurt and this thing happened, but, like, it's okay. Or it didn't even, like, you don't even need the judgment. You could just say, but right now, at this moment, I feel fine, or I feel good. I think it's good to be able to have both.
I agree.
One of the things that came up, actually, as a fellow nine, I wonder how much this resonates. I had described feeling like the sidekick in other people's stories, or other people's films, and I think one of the reasons I like therapy so much is because for 50 minutes
once a week.
You're the main character.
I'm the star. Yeah. I'm the main character.
Yeah.
But for, you know, even for like, even for Roscoe, like, he's the main character, and I'm either the villain or the supporting cast member.
Sure.
And yeah, like, I mean, is that something you can access as a feeling?
Yeah, for sure. I don't feel way very much anymore, but it was mm-hmm. absolutely my first marriage that was my role, that I took upon myself in many ways, of course. But
this is her story, you were just in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't even feel like it was her story either. Which okay. was even more frustrating.
Yeah. Because
it was kind of like she was living out the story she created in her mind about her parents and about her life, but like she wasn't living her authentic story.
Mm.
It was just what she thought she was supposed to do or whatever. And so then I am inauthentically living somebody else's inauthentic life was just,
oof.
Yeah, woof indeed.
Mm.
Woof indeed. And as always, Mark, you're all right. And correct me if I'm wrong.